Good afternoon, everyone. Please come on in, take a seat. We're going to kick off our show and tell session with Sean Crowley from Dun & Bradstreet. And you want to make sure to stay for the whole presentation because they have a great report that they're going to give you as you walk out the door. And they also have a booth here at the event, so feel free to visit them in the marketplace as well. But welcome, Sean.
Thanks very much. Okay, so good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining here. Love to see all the people here. So I've got 15 minutes here, and I got this clock in front of me that's counting down. So one of two things is going to happen here. I'm either going to run a little bit long, and we'll run out of time for Q&A, and I'm going to hold you from getting lunch, and so I apologize for that. Or I'm going to get through this in 5 minutes, and we'll have plenty of time to talk through any questions that you have. But so I am in front of lunch. I understand that. You know, many people have been up, pretty early, since if they're from the East Coast or whatnot. But I'm going to talk today about one of our content pillars, right? And actually, we've gotten this question a lot at our booth in terms of why is Dun & Bradstreet at B2B Marketing Exchange? This is our third year here. Actually, we started coming here when I was part of Net Prospects, which I think many demand gen people have heard of Net Prospects before. We got acquired about 2 years ago. And it's not unusual for people to wonder why D&B is here, right? They traditionally know Dun & Bradstreet as a data provider for credit and risk solutions, and that's not surprising. D&B has been around for more than 175 years. We have traditionally focused on that, but recently what we've been trying to focus on is to take that data, that intelligence. You know, we aggregate and curate data on more than 265 million global organizations, more than 70 million B2B contacts, and we try to help our customers leverage data and analytics to identify the most profitable relationships and to improve the efficiency with which they go to market. So it's a challenge that we have, not only from an external perception, but also internally, right? We have more than 90% of the Fortune 500 companies are Dun & Bradstreet customers. However, on the sales and marketing side, we only have about a 20% penetration rate. Right? So there's huge upside for us, but one of the things that we've struggled with is how do we help people understand what our perspective is around market intelligence, company data, contact data, as it relates to being efficient and identifying the market opportunities that represent the strongest opportunities to grow for your business. So in order to combat this, and we really started at Net Prospects with this, was to give our perspective on data for demand gen professionals. What does it mean to you, right? You know, 15 years ago, or even, you know, 10 years ago, nobody got into marketing to manage data, right? That was not part of the sales description. Now it's pretty essential. You have to understand and get a handle on this, and most marketers continue to struggle with it. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to create a piece that helped people understand what our perspective was and to give them ideas and new ways and approaches to how to leverage data and analytics to be more efficient in how they go to market. So we started with our B2B data report, right? And one of the things that we looked at from a content pillar perspective, right, was first, how do you create it? And I see two approaches for content pillars. One is you start with an idea and you start developing individual assets and you kind of combine them together when you're done with 5 or 10 different assets, and you come up with an ebook, or you come up with some larger type of piece of content. We took the other approach. We came at it with the thought of, we want to create this, this report that shows our perspective, but build it in a way that we can reuse and repurpose this throughout the entire year. So it can be engaged in social, so it can be engaged in our nurturing activities, so it can be engaged by our sellers as they're having conversations with our customers. So it takes time, right? But it also takes a village. It takes coordination across your teams. It takes collaboration with the people who are aggregating the data as well as the people who are analyzing that data. So it's kind of a labor of love for us. This year is the fifth year that we've done it. We just published it this week, so you'll be able to receive a report as you walk out here today or come by the booth if we run out of them, which would be a good thing. So when we look at this, it's kind of a year-round process for it. About 6 months before we want to publish the report, we really start looking at what data we have available. We start thinking about what the theme is, what hypotheses we have around how people are engaging with data, right? In the last couple of years, so the first few years, we really leveraged the insight from other thought leaders in the sales and marketing space. So we went out and we did research on other reports that people wrote, and we constantly cited other people. But as we became part of Dun & Bradstreet and we had all these customers, we said, you know what? We have to go and get primary research. We have to understand what sales and marketing professionals are thinking about, what they're challenged with, how they're approaching those different challenges, and how they're innovatively thinking about using data and analytics to improve their go-to-market efficiency. So this past year, we did two separate surveys into our customer base. We ended up serving over 400 B2B marketing professionals, many of which were at the director level and above, but we also got down to the practitioner level as well, because we wanted to see where the rubber hits the road and what the challenges were that those people were having. So once we collect that primary research, then we engage with our data team, and we start looking at, okay, we processed over 6 billion records in 2016, right? And so we have a wealth of information of what our customers are doing, as well as what we're doing from an aggregation standpoint. So we wanted to look at that data as well and say, what are we seeing? What are customers doing with their data? What's changing as it relates to company and contact data? And what can we glean from that? So as we move into the fall timeframe, we really start validating or invalidating the hypotheses that we have, identifying what trends we have, and we start writing, right? We start doing some collaboration. We start writing drafts. I think this year we ended up with about 8 different drafts of the report, you know, just in an iterative process in terms of what we were doing. One note on that, actually, and I'll bring this up at the end, is I heard someone here talking about lessons learned from developing content, and she mentioned, don't ever throw away an earlier draft, right? There may be nuggets of things in there that you want to come back to, and that's absolutely right. You know, there are times when we got up to like version 6 or 7 of the piece of content, and then we found ourselves going back and looking at what was in version 2 and using that data again. Also, we use some of those things to tweets and social media plugs as well. So it's not from the report, but it also is highly relevant to that as well. So by the end of the fall, by the end of Q4, we've kind of completed the report, and we're moving into engaging with our agencies, getting into the creative concept and how we want to present this. And at this point, we're also engaging with our broader go-to-market team, right? So we have a cross-functional organization that have, you know, distinct responsibilities around campaign development, our persona team, our email nurturing team, our social team, our digital team, right? So we bring all these people together in about December, and we say, here's where the report stands right now. Here's what we want to do from a promotional standpoint. Let's get some ideas on how we want to engage with this and start developing a project plan for each of these distinct pieces. So this way, we're a couple months ahead of when we want to hit go with it, and we have the ability that when the report is ready, everybody's ready to start marching in the same tune, and we can actually hit the market with a pretty significant impact. So this carries into, you know, the winter months. We just launched last week. And then we're going to let this piece go as itself right now for a couple of months. So we're going to do massive promotion around it. But then we want to break this thing up and make it more bite-sized and use it in our nurturing campaign. So this year's report has kind of 3 primary sections to it. We'll publish each of those individual sections as their own content pieces. We'll have social tweets. We'll produce blogs that are a perspective on this report from multiple people within our organization. In the past, we've used Snap App to create interactive content around some of these sections. So it's really a way to reuse this piece over time, get the initial impact, but then repurpose that throughout the year. So we're still doing promotions come next summer, or this coming summer, on the existing piece as we start to think of the next one, right? We see this as a primary generator for, we have a free offering for a free data health scan, so you can check what your data looks like. Because one of the things you see in the report is that we all struggle with the quality of our data. And what we found is when we can drive people to do this free data health scan, our win rate from a sales perspective goes up 60 points whenever somebody does a data health scan. They do a data health scan, they see what challenges they have with data, we can help fix that, and our sales team is much more happy with those type of leads. So it's kind of a 1-2-3 punch for us. Make them aware of the challenge, give them the ability to visualize it and how it's impacting them, and then help them out with a solution around it. So we worked for several weeks iterative approach, right? We look at the creative, we start a little fuzzy, and we kind of nail it in. Dun & Bradstreet went through a pretty big brand relaunch at the beginning of last year. So we really try to do a good job of adhering to those brand characteristics and the core competencies. With this new brand, as many of you can see, there's a D and a B in that ampersand. So that's a kind of big thing for the launch. As we finalize the piece, right, we work with the demand teams to actually say, all right, how are we going to engage this, right? So we have display advertisements, we put this into emails, we have promotions, and we actually hit this across multiple channels, right? From display advertising, cross-device display, we have programmatic segments, right? So we're drinking our own champagne as we're doing this. We cleanse our own data with our solutions, we do persona-based marketing, we target by industry, by persona, and we have device and cookie pools of individuals at businesses that we want to target. So when we go to market programmatically, we're using our digital segments to engage with these people, right? Social media, right, both paid and organic from both of those channels. And then, of course, content syndication. How do we get out there into those buying pools of people that are looking for solutions around how to more effectively leverage data and analytics? So one of the things that we saw was that last year we drove the highest number of view-based leads and the highest click-through rates for this, right? We generated about 8 million impressions for this ad. We saw a significant uptick in the number of data health scans that were requested from us. It drove free trials of our product. And then, as I said earlier, whenever a data health scan is engaged by a prospect, our win rate goes up 60 basis points every single time, right? So we're actively generating new customers on the platform as a result of this piece. We're trying to make people aware and use this throughout the entire year. So as I said before, we'll break this thing down into account-based marketing. We'll create infographics from this and promote that through social channels. Depending on, you know, so last year we focused on account-based marketing, programmatic advertising, and then we broke things into these Snap App quizzes as well. So just different ways across different channels of reusing and leveraging this content pillar throughout the entire year. So this year, as I said, we processed over 6 billion records. So this year's report is focused on how do you glean this insight, how do you ignite growth for your business through sales acceleration. And when you think about it, the perspective really is, how do I profile the best market opportunities that are available? How do I intelligently target the right people that have the highest likelihood to buy my solution? How do I optimize my data so I can personalize content, identify who's coming to our websites, and engage with them in a relevant conversation? So when I hand off leads to my sellers, these people are primed, they understand my solution, and it actually shortens that window to close a new opportunity, right? And we call that kind of sales acceleration when you do all of these components together. So we have a number of solutions that help do this, and this year's report is focused on how can you engage, what are the challenges that we're faced with, or this data disconnect that we're all faced with, and how can you overcome some of those challenges. So I encourage you to read the report, come by the booth, engage with us, we're happy to talk about it. I got 2 minutes left, so if there's any questions, I'm happy to take them. Or you guys can go outside and get warm and have some lunch. Yes?
Could you just describe what other content marketing activities you do outside of this?
Outside of this piece? So I run product marketing for the sales and marketing solutions line of business. So we're in a line of business that's separate from our central marketing function. So from a content perspective, we're focused on content assets that help people understand what our solutions are, how they differ from the other. So we've got the core blocking and tackling for products, right? Data sheets, comparison sheets, sales presentations. But we work with our persona-based team to help think of from a brand, from a campaign concept, what do we want to do? So we have thought leadership pieces on our blog posts, right? We have other content pillars that we create from so one we're working on is a solution brief around the entire portfolio of sales and marketing. Another pillar that we're planning for this year is influencer marketing, right? So how do you leverage those channels? And what we're going to try to do is talk to thought leaders in the sales and marketing space and have them understand what their perspective is on data and how it impacts their specific thought leadership area. So those are the two other content pillars that we're looking at. And then we also do a number of other reports. So we did a report last year on programmatic advertising. So we'll probably do something around that from primary research around how are people engaging digital data within their go-to-market activities as well. So, any other questions? All right, thanks for coming. Please enjoy the report. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.